Welcome. Hello, friends of Celebration Presbyterian Church USA and Facebook followers everywhere. We're glad you're joining us today in virtual community for this time of worship. I hope you're safe in your places of social distance and have all the essential supplies to sustain you over the coming days and weeks. Thank you for adapting your lives in these unprecedented times for the safety and well-being of us all. Now, hear these powerful words as we gather for worship. The grace and peace of God be with us all as we gather our hearts and lives together for divine worship. Let me begin with a few announcements just to remind you, you can call into the office here at the church, but we ask that you please don't just drop in. You may email prayer requests to our administrative assistant, Linda Berry, and you can phone in or by email notify us of needs you have for assistance. And a reminder that even in extraordinary times like these, that you are the church and I'm the church and we are the church together, even at a safe distance. Friends of Celebration, I remind us it takes all of us praying together, pulling together, and giving financially together, especially now in these exceptional times, to keep the church's mission and ministry supported, secure, and sustained for the weeks and months to come. So with great humility and sincerity, I ask you, please, continue to generously support Celebration Presbyterian Church. You can do so several ways: by mailing your tithes and offerings by check to the church office, or you may send them through your online banking bill pay, or you can go to our church website and use the Donate Now option. Friends, it still takes us all giving and praying and working together to be the church for today and for tomorrow. So let me say thank you for all your ongoing prayers and participation and your financial support for the mission and ministry of Celebration Presbyterian Church. In other announcements, let me say thank you again for being part of this virtual worship, but look for other Facebook short videos with inspirational thoughts and music that I will be putting up, and Sarah Abashakra and others in our congregation will be adding to the Facebook feed. Let us know your special needs and your prayer requests by emailing them, and contact us if you need help picking up and delivering supplies. With that, let me invite you to join me now for the call to worship. Friends of Celebration, God calls us from the valley of dry bones. Come, listen for a word from God. Hear God calling us in a far and distant voice. Remember God cares for us. Know that the Spirit breathes life into our dry bones. God offers hope when we have lost our way. Our souls wait for refreshment that God offers. May our spirits be filled with great expectation of God's provision. Christ came as a light to all the world, and Christ comes to us today into our places of social distancing and safety to light our way as well. Listen, hear the Christ calling for us to come out and live. May Christ unbind us all that we may hear him, see him, worship him, and believe in him. Please bow with me now for prayer. O God of steadfast love, bring new life to this community of your people. We are eager to hear your voice and to be filled with your Spirit. Come from the four winds, O breath of life, and bring vitality and purpose to our gathering, that we might be joined in spirit for worship and be energized and encouraged by you. Hear our voices from our homes and safe settings as we lift them in praise and by crying out in our need. Be attentive and persistent, O God, in hearing our supplications, lest we truly die apart from you. Only you can unbind us and mend us and renew life within us and set us free once more to love and to serve you. We offer this prayer in the strong name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now I'm going to attempt to share hymn number 661, His Eye is on the Sparrow. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when song gives place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Friends, if you will, please bow with me now for a pastoral prayer, and where you are and your places of safety, if you'll offer up your names and concerns and joys as we pray together. Let us bring our joys and concerns before the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, you who created light so that we might see your grace, open our eyes to see how you are carefully and constantly weaving blessings throughout our lives, even now. Put it upon our hearts to respond to brokenness with healing. Holy Father, Father of Christ, who opened the eyes of the blind, made the lame to walk and the dead to walk again, strengthen the Spirit of Christ living within us so that through humility, patience, grace, and love, we may find your abundant kingdom-building life. Bless, help, protect, and heal all whom we are lifting up to you in our personal joys and concerns. Grant added strength to all medical personnel and first responders who are actively serving the greatest needs among us right now in our communities and throughout the nation and the world. Oh God, grant us wisdom and courage for the facing and living of these unprecedented days. Sovereign Lord, God of all, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you alone can bring into order our wills and affections. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Now hear us as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now we come to the time of receiving tithes and offerings. And yes, in a virtual world, this may seem a bit strange, but it is still part of our pattern of worship. So I invite us to pray for celebration and to do our part to send our checks and gifts of support to the ongoing ministry. Please pray with me. God of new life, out of the abundance of our lives, we bring our gifts to you in worship. Through your blessing and our willingness to share, may these offerings become a source for hope and love in this church family and in the community beyond us. We offer ourselves to you, O God, in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Friends, today we have two stories from Scripture that deal with life and death and grief and new life and joy and hope renewed. I invite us to prepare our hearts and minds to hear and receive God's word with just a few moments of silence, followed by the prayer for illumination. Please bow with me. O God, you know us better than we know ourselves. As the scriptures are read, we will listen for your voice. By your Spirit, lead us out of our fears and into the knowledge of your love through Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of our souls. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our souls be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. First, from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. I invite you to listen, hear the word of God. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, Mortal, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second passage is from John's Gospel, the 11th chapter, verses 1 to 14. It's the story of the death and resurrection of Lazarus. Listen, hear the word of God. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother, Lazarus, was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it's for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." And when she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up and quickly went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there's a stench because he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You've heard me say it before during Lent that every Sunday throughout the year is a celebration of the resurrection, or a little Easter celebration. So that even during Lent, when our alleluias are buried, and this Sunday, our text resounds with proclamations of new life. I want to share a quote from Jill Duffield, who's the editor of the Presbyterian Outlook, that speaks to many of our heartfelt concerns today. Jill says, "Ezekiel prophesies to the dry bones, and lo, they rattle and groan and stand on their own 2 feet and finally breathe. John's gospel tells the story of Lazarus, his grief-stricken sisters, their plea to Jesus, Jesus' own grief and prayer and plea to God, Lazarus' grand exit from the tomb, and the onlookers' astonished belief. Where can we turn from new God-given life this week? Nowhere. As social distancing grows, Jill says, shelter-in-place orders expand. More people are getting sick. Layoffs are increasing. Anxiety heightens, and the end of this public health crisis seems far off in the future. We need a glimpse of Easter," she says, "a foreshadowing of hope, a sure cause for rejoicing. And thanks be to God, we unequivocally have such an occasion this Lord's Day. We may not mark Holy Week or celebrate Easter in our sanctuaries this year, But nothing I say will prevent Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem and his living, breathing exit from the tomb. Nothing. So let's look now at our text. We start off with old dry bones. Perhaps you're feeling that way, cut off, distanced from things that bring you life. But in this valley of dry bones, we see scattered and lifeless bones as far as the eyes can see. Fresh death and decay, the stench of which is overpowering if not heavily perfumed and blocked by a massive stone covering the tomb. Our readings for today from John and Ezekiel can leave us feeling depressed, grief-stricken, utterly hopeless, full of sadness, and bound up in despair. If we stop short in our reading these passages all the way through to the end. When God asked Ezekiel, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I can almost hear Ezekiel's tired sigh saying, "Oh Lord, you know, I don't know." His comment sounds jaded and almost angry when it rings in my head. The prophet has had a dark season of dismay, and he fails to see the possibilities beyond this dusty Death Valley scene that he's facing. And he's at a time of fading hope in his relationship with God. And yet God has work for him to do. He says, "Prophesy to these bones." And when Ezekiel might have rightly protested that calling out to not just the dead, but the long time dead and decayed was a waste of his time and energy, instead he says, "What have I got to lose?" He steps up and he begins to preach to the valley of dry bones. So we can learn a lot from Ezekiel, that even in our disappointments, doubts, and cynicism, God is still busy sending the Spirit. We can learn to be faithful and dutiful, more concerned with following God's command than forecasting their chances of success. We can focus on the word given to us to proclaim, rather than the status, receptiveness, or state of the congregation God puts us before or puts before us. We can admit, "Oh Lord God, you know the answers, and we truly don't know the answers," like so much that we have to face in our lives right now. And we can allow that deep truth of God knowing better than we do to keep moving us to speak out and to keep serving God in humble faithfulness, rather than condemning us to just give up or shrivel up in our own despair and hopelessness. In John chapter 11, Jesus' good friend Lazarus was well, he became ill, his condition worsened, and he died. Death stinks. Sudden death, prolonged illness, and slow death, it all stinks. And in those days, herbs and spices used to prepare a body for burial could hardly lessen the stench of death's decay. Lazarus died. He was in the tomb for 4 days, and decay was well underway. And yet the word of his sickness reached Jesus, and Jesus intentionally waited to go to Bethany. Does it ever feel to you that Jesus is waiting to respond to you in your time of isolation or sickness and despair? Where is Jesus when we need him the most? The scene in Bethany is one of sadness and friends who have gathered to sit Shiva in mourning with Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. We see neighbors caring for neighbors, lending support in a time of loss and need. The church bereavement team has gotten word of Lazarus' death, and the casserole patrol has been dispatched to minister with mourners with home meals for the family of Mary and Martha. The shadow of death hung over the place and the people. Mary and Martha and the mourners could only see death. Jesus saw in that same place of death something different. He saw an opportunity for God to be God and for God to reveal God's own glory at the graveyard. Mary and Martha, when they finally do see Jesus, seem angry with him at their loss. Death can have a way of bringing out the worst in us, and at times the overflow of our grief can be crude and ugly with family and with friends. But Jesus can handle their raw emotions, and he can handle our raw emotions and our ugly grief. And even Jesus reveals his own deep passion and feelings as he weeps openly with the others at the graveside of his friend Lazarus. Jesus wept, and he felt the full pain of his loss. His loss was the sisters' loss, the overall pain of death in this broken world. And he moved to change life and death as they have known it, and to change their understanding of it forever. Jesus could see past death to new life and glorifying God, who is the giver of life. And while Jesus is a worker of miracles, we too have a part to play in this work of resurrection. First, Jesus says to the people standing by, "Remove the stone." He calls that crowd of mourners as if to say, eliminate whatever barriers are keeping people trapped in death. Martha, a pragmatist, speaks up and says, "But Jesus, it's going to smell really bad if you take that stone away. He's 4 days dead." And Jesus stands ready amidst the stench of death to offer life, life as they've never known it. And he prays that in the midst of this time, God will truly be glorified. And then he loudly calls forth Lazarus from the tomb. "Come out, Lazarus." And as things begin to stir, jaws drop and there's a collective gasp overheard in the cemetery as the dearly departed one, Lazarus, appears. They can't believe their eyes. He's moving like a mummy bound up in his grave clothes. And so once again, Jesus calls on the crowd to participate in this resurrection. They say, "Unwrap the grave clothes that are binding him up and set him free." So as you and I pray for miracles, are we considering that we may have a supporting part to play in the life-giving miracles that we are asking for from Jesus? Lazarus had been stone cold dead, but Jesus called him from death and the grave to live again. John tells us that the people see this miracle, and many of the Jews believe in Jesus for the very first time. We're also told that Jesus' enemies learn of this, and now they fear him more than ever and want him dead as soon as possible. God was indeed moving beyond the former things and doing something brand new there in the cemetery through Jesus Christ. How can this be, God? New life breathed into a dusty valley of dry bones. New life breathed into Lazarus in the graveyard. New life breathed into our places of isolation and desolation, even now. How can this be? We don't know, Lord, apart from you. Friends, let me say we're still called to preach, to speak, and to prophesy about God, and to tell of God's ability and God's willingness to bring life from death. We're called to proclaim God's power to resurrect flesh long past rotting, making bits and pieces whole and graveyards places of reunions and homecomings. But do we believe this? Even if we aren't so sure on days when all that we can see is a valley of dry bones or a brother who's dead in the grave for 4 days, prophesy anyway. Even in the darkest hours, we hold on to faith, knowing God can and will bring hope out of hopeless situations, And Jesus can and does bring new life out of death. Please bow with me now for a prayer. Oh God, help us learn from Ezekiel to prophesy about life and breath and spirit, no matter how dry and deadly the valley we are in may seem. Lord, help us to be like Mary and Martha, willing to roll away stones and unbinding those who are brought forth from the grave, smelly as they might be. Jesus, help us to focus less on our beliefs and more on our life-giving actions, less on our feelings and more on your power to save, less on our expectations and more on your instructions to love and to serve one another. We ask it all in the strong name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So let me say thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you for supporting Celebration by your participation today in this virtual community gathered for worship, and for your ongoing prayers and financial support during these extremely challenging times. And I invite you to please join us again next Sunday at 11 a.m. for worship here on Facebook by way of live stream. Now hear this charge, and may it carry you through the week. Friends, even in our places of social isolation, God is with us. We are freed from all that has bound us. The Spirit will bless us with joy and light. The Spirit will empower us, and the light of Christ will show us the way even in the darkest times. As we walk in the light, we will not stumble. By faith in God, we will live even through death. Know that God is attentive to all our prayers, and we are assured of God's forgiveness and grace and steadfast love and provisions day by day, come what may. Let us each share a word of hope with others who are suffering dis-ease and distress in their isolation. Now go forth into the world with compassion and justice in your heart. Give voice to the silent and strength to the weak. Hear one another, see one another, care for one another, and love one another. It's all that easy, and it's all that hard. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. And I want to leave you with a closing hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity. And I say, stay safe in God's power and peace. God loves you, and so do I. Take care.